everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John, engineering and producing the show. It's Monday, the first day of August, 2022. We got tons of rain. Three really good events. Friday, Saturday, and then the big one was yesterday. Our very unscientific, as my friend Tom Fairbanks produces the show Wednesday through Friday, says that's the Buckmaster test tube, but it showed almost 3 inches of rain for the weekend, which is wonderful. Desperately need that kind of rain right here. The Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, the radio station 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, and of course, our live line when we do our telephone interviews presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our title sponsor for the Monday political face-off, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe and the family, what a great job they do. We like to call it the gold standard of fine framing in this town. Quality, professionalism, doing all of the framing. They've got beautiful custom frame mirrors. We've got two in our home. They have beautiful art in the gallery. And Mo will come out and make sure everything is on the wall the way you want it. In other words, he has a hanging service. Come in and do your design session, or you can do it electronically. Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lawton Dodge, now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Our Monday political face-off commentator is John Munger, well-known Tucson attorney, is the former president of the Arizona Board of Regents, Republican candidate for Arizona governor in 2010, former chair of the Republican Party. Jeff Rogers, also a well-known Tucson attorney, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Jeff and John, how was your weekend? Did you get a lot of rain at your
home?
Wonderful
weekend. Nice rain. Was terrific.
How about you, Jeff? Horses don't like the rain, do they?
I kind of reach a point where it's, let's slow it down a little bit, have a little more, you know, maybe have a little gap.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you get in those horses' stalls and they start to get pretty messy.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a little bit of...
horses are walking around in the mud and the muck. It's terrible.
Yeah.
John, you didn't have the kind of money to run if you had to run for governor, the money that's being spent in this Arizona gubernatorial race, it's just unbelievable.
Well, the money that's being spent in any races, it's gotten to the point with all of these controls. It's gotten to the point where unless you're independently wealthy
and can pump in a lot of money.
Millions of dollars of your own money. You can't run. And the reason for that is because we have, through these so-called campaign finance reform laws, we've cut off the ability of candidates to raise money independently. So you can't raise enough money independently from regular donors with the limits there are to raise money. So unless you're independently wealthy, you can't run because you can't raise enough money. Somebody comes in and they'll spend $10, $15, $20 million and just pump in their own money. And
not miss it.
An independent person who's trying to raise money from the public in general can't raise enough money to compete. And that is the problem. You look at all the candidates running today and they're all independently wealthy, basically.
For the big races, Jeff.
Yeah, well, the amount of money in this governor's race on the Republican side is just astonishing. You can't really blame Karen Taylor Robeson because she has to spend that kind of money to even get up to the name recognition that Lake has, because Lake has spent, 15, 20 years in the
anchor,
Phoenix market
TV
on
anchoring,
Fox.
Yeah. Fox the major media there. Market in the state. Yeah.
So, you know, that's given her recognition that goes way beyond what money can buy. And I think Robeson has outspent her 10 to 1, maybe greater than that. And that's just enough to make her somewhat competitive.
Somewhat, because
yeah,
this new
still
poll,
beyond like 10 yeah, points
the
in polls.
Poll that came out, and we talked about it with Dan Scheer. Dan really had broken that story with us. He had the pollster, had just gotten the word Friday. the Trump-backed candidates all have very comfortable leads. Trump did not
in Arizona.
In Arizona, yes. Trump did not back a candidate in that race for school superintendent that Tom Horn
right.
is trying to get that job back. That's very close between Saphir and Horn. That's like a dead heat. But I'm trying to think. All of the other major races, Secretary of State, Attorney General, the governor's race, or Trump-backed candidates look like they are very comfortable.
Well, the silver lining for Democrats is that these will be the easiest people to beat. I mean, if Robeson were to win tomorrow, she would be a formidable general
very
election
tough.
Candidate.
Be a tough
to beat. But I think Lake is highly beatable in a November election. As is this Hamadeh, who seems to have very little legal experience whatsoever. I just kind of...
Hamadeh's up against a really attractive candidate in Chris Mays.
Right,
Chris has a lot of experience.
A lot of legal experience, a lot of experience on the Board of Regents like John.
Yes.
She was Janet Napolitano's chief aide for mm-hmm. many years.
Mm-hmm.
She actually was a Republican originally and only changed to a Democrat when she started working for Napolitano. So she's a formidable candidate, and I wouldn't count her out of that race at all. And certainly Mark Kelly is a formidable Senate candidate. So I think that you know, if we can sweep those three races and beat those three Trump things, we will have done the Republicans a favor, because they'll learn a lesson from that, and I think they'll move to a little bit less crazy kind of candidates. And Lake is just she's way out there. The things she says and does are just frightening. So
how about Katie Hobbs? She's got some baggage. There's been some issues with Katie.
She does have some issues with a chief
legal. There's a legal issue going on there from her office.
Well,
there was an
incident when she was in the state legislature where she fired an African American woman who. Then later sued the state and won. Actually, she won twice. So, you know, that hurts her a little bit amongst some of the Democrat people. But I still think she's probably a pretty formidable candidate for the governor's race.
Trump has a lot of support in Arizona, John Munger.
Well, he does.
Mm-hmm.
People loved his policies. They loved his policies. I mean, you compare the state of this country when Trump was president, before COVID, and the country was moving along, doing great. Our foreign policy was great. The economy was booming. I mean, we still haven't gained back the jobs that were lost during COVID. With Biden bragging about all the jobs he's created, those are just jobs that were lost during COVID. We haven't created anything beyond. In fact, we're still short. We haven't even created back the jobs that we lost during COVID, and Biden's bragging about it. But here's the real problem the Democrats have. I saw some interesting polls. Democrats' enthusiasm rate of vote for voters is way down. Only 62% of Democrats say, when polled, say they are likely to vote. 75% of Republicans, now this is nationwide, say they're going to vote. And that enthusiasm rate deficit for the Democrats is a huge problem. They're just not motivated to vote. And the Democrats get all excited about climate change. Climate change turns out to be 11th on the primary issues of voters. Climate change for voters is just not that big of a deal. The Democrats are counting on this Roe versus Wade.
Supreme Court decisions. Won't that fire
no,
up the Dems?
No, because the polls show that they've polled people who are upset about that. Only 52% of those are likely to vote.
Really?
Yes.
Hmm. Jeff, are you surprised about that?
Well, I think the polls can show a lot of different things, and there are a lot of other polls that show that the enthusiasm level is deficit is not that high. As a matter of fact, two new polls came out over the weekend. The first one's a USA Today Suffolk News poll that showed that on the generic congressional ballot, the voters approved of Democrats by 44 to 40 over Republicans. And then a new one that just came out this morning from YouGov and The Economist magazine showed that 44% of the voters preferred Democrats in congressional ballot races to 38% Republicans. And I do think that, there are several issues that are going to motivate a lot of Democrats to turn out. One of them is this right to marriage issue that and if I were suggesting to the Republicans what to do, I'd say gather up 10 votes to make this a non-issue so that it passes the Senate, and then you can say this is not an issue anymore. But if they don't participate and bring in 10 votes to get that thing passed, that's going to be a problem for them. And then when we also look at this PACT Act, which was the burn pits in Iraq, you know, that passed the Senate 84 to 14.
The veterans who some of their benefits right. have
and
been cut off.
It had a technical off. Problem that was fixed in the House. Now it has to come back to the Senate, and it was voted down by the Republicans.
Yeah.
And they admitted that was in retaliation for the health and climate bill, which is being called the Inflation Reduction Act, which looks like it's on track to pass maybe by the end of the week. And that is going to be one of the most major legislative victories for Biden that he's going to have.
All right.
It includes a ton of really
good stuff. Hold your thought there.
That's about 25th on the voters' okay. issues.
Hold your thoughts. We're going to take a break right here, guys. It's Buckmaster. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell, and Dodge. Be right back.
Nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, this is Tom Sullivan. Join me weeknights from 7 to 10 for the Tom Sullivan Show on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It's the Buckmaster Show, our Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Seated to my left, Jeff Rogers. To my right, John Munger. Major article and a front-page piece in the Arizona Daily Star, Jeff and John, an Arizona nonprofit. It's called Save Democracy, headed up by former Congressman Ron Barber. They're working to educate citizens about the challenges of the current primary election system. They're hoping, Jeff, to create a ballot initiative that would move the state to an open, nonpartisan system. Good or bad?
I think it's bad, and the voters have already rejected it once, and they rejected it by a wide, large margin. And the Democratic Party opposed it. The Republican Party opposed it. I don't think it's something voters are interested in doing, and I think both parties will oppose it again, and it'll go down in flames. This has always been a pet project of Cy Shores for years and years and years, both at the local level and at the statewide level. And I think it's a bad idea. It allows parties, in a way, to manipulate the process. If you've got a very powerful party chair or organization, and you can keep the number of candidates down in the wide open primaries like that for your side, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, then you can basically engineer a way to increase your odds that the final two that will appear on the November ballot are both Republicans or both Democrats. And so you can game the system that way, and when we've seen it done in California, and it leads to some unfortunate results.
And Alaska as well, John.
Oh, Alaska's got it, and it's a disaster up there. People are very unhappy with the system, very confused with the system. And Jeff is right. Both parties will oppose it. It actually, ironically, as Jeff has aptly said, makes the parties even more important, because Jeff used some numbers while we were off air. If you're in a Democrat district and four people are running, just as an example, the Republicans with a strong Republican leadership is going to make sure there's only a couple of Republicans running, and they're going to get all the Republican votes. And there's you can make it so that the party leadership creates the candidate that wins. It actually, people think it weakens the parties. It actually strengthens the party leadership. I think Jeff would agree with
me. I think it can. If you have a strong party leadership, then you can do, as John was suggesting, maybe the Republican Party in a Democrat district says, we're only going to run two people, and we're going to discourage anybody else from running, and then the Democrats have four, five, six people running. Well, you just do the math, and you might end up in a fully Democratic district with two Republicans vying for the November election result.
And then you single shot the votes,
yeah.
And you just vote for one. And because in these elections, you get to vote for four.
Uh-huh.
Well, the party that's got the strong leadership is going to say, go out and single shot these guys. Just that means to your listeners, that means just vote for one.
Mm-hmm.
And get all the votes into that guy or gal.
This increase the voter turnout? Because right now you have to request a ballot to vote in the other party's election.
Yeah, but you can show up on election day and request it right there.
That's
on election
true.
Day.
That's true.
So you don't, if you want to vote from home, you're going to have to request it in advance, at least in Arizona. So I wasn't impressed with the figures that suggest there's much of an increase in turnout. It wasn't enough to matter a whole lot. There are a lot of other things that have increased turnout, like same-day registration and voting. Vote by mail has increased turnout a great deal in Arizona. So there are lots of ways to increase voter turnout without, these kind of sketchy ideas.
Let's switch gears, go back to the situation with the president. New York Times columnist Brett Stevens seriously questions Biden's leadership, saying he's a failing president and he must announce that he won't seek re-election. Jeff, are we nearing that point where we need him to make a decision?
I think not now. I think he should announce what he's going to do after the midterms. And my best guess is that he's not. And the Democrats have made it real clear in this election and the polling, they can separate out the popularity of Joe Biden and the popularity of other Democrats and other Democratic ideas. And right now, he's on the cusp of some big-time victories. I mean, this microchip bill that was passed with bipartisan support that encourages companies to build microchip factories in America and gives them incentives to do so, that's a big deal. This health and climate bill that's, you know, being roundly called the Inflation Reduction Act, you know, it would allow Medicare to negotiate prices with drug companies, something the VA has successfully done for 20 years. It would spend some money on climate change. It's got money in there to reduce the deficit. It's got a minimum tax for huge corporations that pay no taxes at all. They would pay 15% mandatory now. It's got IRS enforcement provisions in there to increase tax collections.
Boy, it sounds like there's a little something
there's
for everybody.
Something for everybody. We used to call those bills a Christmas tree because there was a little package for everybody in that bill.
The problem is the bill is there's a lot of disinformation in that bill. Let me give you a few. Number one, you start with the premise it's a tax increase during a recession. And the rule of thumb in everybody's book, and Joe Biden has said it, Joe Manchin has said it, everybody said it, Obama has said it, you do not increase taxes during a recession. And it's $700 billion of new taxes, but $439 billion of new taxes for spending. And the problem is, for example, there's a lot of gotchas in here. This negotiating of drug prices. Well, let me tell you how the negotiations work. The government will come in, and this is in the bill. The government comes in and says, we only want to pay X for the drug. And the drug company says, we can't do that. We can't advance our research. We can't have any more research with that price. And the government says, well, if you won't do it, there's a 95% excise tax on the products. Well, that's like Don Corleone saying, I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse. I mean, that's not negotiation. That's extortion. So you either agree to the government or they tax you 95%. That is not taxation. That's not negotiation. The bill is called the anti-inflation bill. The bill, everybody admits, the bill has nothing to do with inflation. It's just gotcha stuff. And it's $339 billion worth of spending on climate change. Now, climate change is 11th on the public's most important issues, 11th. And here we are off during a recession, taxing and spending $339 billion. We're going to pump more money into an already inflated economy to create more inflation. It's just another tax and spend Democrat deal during a recession, which is even worse and compounds the problem.
If it taxed ordinary people, you might be right, John. But taking multi-billionaires and giant corporations and taxing them at a mandatory 15% if they pay nothing, which 55 of the Fortune 500 companies paid zero tax last year.
And I'm all for fixing that.
Yeah,
this also
encourages offshore drilling to bring our petroleum supplies up.
That isn't in the bill.
It is in the bill. There's several things provisions in there, and the reason they're in there is because Joe Manchin insisted they be there.
No.
He's an oil man.
No.
That's where he makes his money.
No, Joe Manchin was promised that eventually.
No, it's in there. It's in
and
there.
And the other thing is that these it does tax people under $400,000. There's $30 billion. There's $80 billion worth of taxes. To hire new IRS agents, they're going to hire 80,000 IRS agents. Those IRS agents are going to come in and tax you and me and figure out ways that somehow we're not paying enough. 80,000 new IRS agents, and
they're going to catch people cheating on their taxes.
The bill itself says the numbers break out that they're going to get $30 billion from normal people. Under this bill, sounds like a lot of audits. A whole hell of a lot of audits. The other thing is the corporations. What people fail to realize, yeah, the corporations are going to be taxed more money. But what happens is they just raise their prices. The public pays for it. And they lay off employees. So what's going to happen here is Joe Schmo on the street is going to end up with higher prices. There's going to be new taxes for everybody, more enforcement through the IRS with 80,000 new auditors. And we're doing it all raising taxes during a recession, which is the main rule of thumb. Everybody has says you don't raise taxes during a recession.
All right, Jeff, final quick word.
Well, I don't think it matters as much when you raise taxes on billionaires and giant multi-billion dollar corporations. Those things aren't going to affect the inflation, and they're not going to affect whether or not we go into a recession.
All right, guys. All right, John and Jeff, hope you both have a great week. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome, Bill.
All right, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com, presenting our Monday political face-off. The Border Report with Keith Rosenblum. It's next in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studios.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Welcome back. The Buckmaster Show on the first day of August. This portion of our program presented by Green Things, 3384 East River Road. The rains came over the weekend, so my guess is if I were to be over at Green Things right now, it would be looking pretty darn green. And it's a perfect time to plant some color in the garden. I'm sure it would do very well right now after the rain. The 13-acre site is also home to Zocalo and all that great merchandise, much of it handcrafted in Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. The website is greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Green Things, more than 50 years here in the Tucson area, and they are open daily. Once a month for our border report, usually the first Monday of the month. But if there is a holiday, it becomes the second Monday of the month. So this month, it's the first Monday of the month. The border report with longtime border reporter, observer Keith Rosenblum, who joins us on the live line, presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Keith, how are you?
Bill, I'm just continuing my observing. I'm a longtime border observer, and that's what we do. We observe, and that's what I'm doing today.
Hey, it looks like that visit of Mexican President Andres Manuel Lopez Obrador went pretty well with the President of the United States. They were kind of each singing the praises of one another at the White House last week.
It's lonely at the top. Both... both need and want each other, and the greater the love and the greater the images they can send to their respective constituencies, the better. Lopez Obrador used the occasion, I understand, to give a 20-minute speech. It was just supposed to be a photo op, really. And he launched into some ridiculous speech about the, you know, the Mexican people proud of this or proud of that. The man's totally inappropriate at every turn, but he is ubiquitous. He's omnipresent. He's in my life almost 24/7, and he's in Mexicans' lives even more than that. So he's. I listened to him again this morning. I think today he touched 2.5 hours. He might have gone more. And there is no topic
2.5 hours
that President Lopez Obrador doesn't have an opinion on. And little by little, he tries to chip away at all the checks and balances that Mexico has, blames the past six presidents for all of Mexico's ills, continues to kind of baby or coddle the different mafias and say, well, you know, brazos sí, balazos no, which are hugs yes, bullets no. But there's a rhyme to it in Spanish. It's the word abrazo and balazo, which are very similar. And but the thing is, you know, the border report could actually be every day, Bill. I'm not making a pitch for it because I know you don't have the funding. but try this. Mexico surpassed the other day the total tourism amount from pre-pandemic.
Really?
And pre-pandemic, it was fabulous to begin with. No matter what, I'm going to do the Rosenblum vision one more time. One, these are in three parts, but they're not equal. 1/3 of Americans will never go to Mexico no matter what because we know the Mexicans are going to do something horrible to us, okay? That's a group of, there's a third. If it's not a third numerically, but it's one part of a pie, the next part of the pie that has three pieces is the part that's going to go no matter what because Americans don't fear those things and we know that people are people no matter where you go in the world. And we go to hot spots all over because that's who we are and we're not going to take any government's warnings about what to do. And then there's the other third part of that pie, and those are the ones that can be persuaded. They're kind of tentative, like, should I go, my kids, my trip, whatever. And that third is getting bigger and bigger. And I can tell you that because my son is in Peñasco this weekend. Our family is south at another event in Nogales. Another son is going next week to a wedding in Hermosillo. The numbers, you can't even get into Cancun Airport. That's how crowded it is.
Hey, Keith, it sounds like, Keith, you're playing with something on your desk there. We're hearing
Hold on.
Yeah.
Let's try this, Bill. Is this any better? What I was saying was that of those thirds,
yes.
Americans are the third that says we can be convinced is getting bigger and bigger. I have a son who's going to Hermosillo to a wedding. I have a son right now in Peñasco. I know more people who are going than ever for business things. And Cancun Airport you can't even get into. And Mexico City Airport is hard to get into also. And so the affluence right now, as we hear more and more warnings and more reasons that we have to be fearful of this or that, the odd thing is that the numbers of Americans that are going for every imaginable reason, including retirement, increases.
What do you mean you can't get in? The airport is just so busy at Cancun.
That's correct. Yeah. That's correct. Mm-hmm. That is absolutely on Cancun. That's why they're building the new airport at Tulum, an hour from Cancun. They're going to have two international airports right by each other in Quintana Roo. They'll have Cancun and they'll have Tulum. And as for Mexico City, both one and two are just jam packed. They had a fissure in the concrete on the second part of the second landing strip last week, and it played havoc. That's one reason that Mexico built the new airport, the Santa Lucia one, which is still kind of vacant. But they already knew that Mexico City was saturated, and it is today. So what I'm saying is that Mexico right now, as I said, exceeds the pre-pandemic levels of tourism, which were already high. And whether you go border, whether you go to the interior, whether you go to Quintana Roo, whatever, I'm just telling you that numerically the country is in a boom.
That 1/3 that you said don't want to go to Mexico, they are, you know, they're pretty much consumed when they hear the news about immigration and drugs.
Absolutely. And those people, there's no convincing them. But it's not Mexico alone. Mm-hmm. They will also not go, a bunch of them probably won't go to Canada, believe it or not. But they definitely will not go overseas because these are the Americans that have been brainwashed or have never left the U.S. And they believe a lot of the xenophobic things that they hear or they're just predisposed to be fearful. And again, they bring to life what Roosevelt alluded to when he said the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. These are people who are predisposed to be fearful, and it's not 1/3 of the population. It's a member of that of the party that happens to be of three segments of the United States population, but they will not go. There's no reason to try to persuade them. They're not going to go no matter what.
Speaking of drugs, Danielle Camara at the Star had a piece in the paper about marijuana seizures are nearly gone from Arizona. That's what happens, I guess, when you basically legalize marijuana. Danielle reports in the Tucson sector, Keith, marijuana seizures are about 1/1,000th of what they were a decade ago and 1/10th of what they were a year ago. It's not an issue. What is an issue is fentanyl.
Well, you know you're talking to your favorite libertarian on this topic. So
okay.
Whether we have, I mean, the marijuana seizure, why on earth would we, the only reason you want to import marijuana is because it might be a better deal than the stuff we can buy legally now, and I'm not sure it is. And as for fentanyl and these other things, again, your favorite libertarian says, why on earth are we trying to interdict? If we are foolish enough to inject, digest, snort, whatever, do we not have it coming to us? I mean, really, are we going to blame the Chinese or the Mexicans or anybody for meeting our market demand? Nobody has forced the Buckmaster family or the Rosenblum family or anybody else to ingest or shoot or smoke or anything. So that's just as it's going to be forever, I think.
All right. Circling back to the Mexican president before we take the break, we know that Biden's polling is at an all-time low. I was just curious, maybe some of our listeners are as well, does Obregon, do they share very poor poll numbers?
No, the other way around. In fact, they are actually have an inverse correlation. López Obrador continues to be at all-time high ratings. Now,
wow.
He's at the 70% approval rating, which is unheard of. And that's because the guy, as I say, is your uncle or your grandpa or whoever that person is that just blabs all day long. He's in front of the Mexican people 24/7. I would like to figure out some way to get him out of my life, but I can't. He's a perpetual presence, and he cares about the poor, and he's always talking about the poor this and the poor that, and he's kept the peso stable. You know what? The Mexicans just don't care about these other issues. He enjoys fabulous credibility. None of the political parties do. They're all polling as President Biden is. They're all in the 30s and percent area. But insofar as his personal popularity, it's at a zenith, and it's going to stay there, and he's going to play a big role in deciding who is going to be the next president because his term's up in less than 2 years.
And before we take the break, Americans are crossing the border for lower gas prices, Keith Rosenblum.
Oh, in addition to that, I have not done so because my gas tank is small enough that I don't care. But when you got one of those big SUVs and you're going to fill up with 20 gallons, then you're going to save a dollar and a half per gallon. It's worth crossing over, yes. And the pharmaceutical stuff is all the same. There's still a million different reasons you go to Mexico for consumer reasons, but that is a part of border commerce, but it's hardly the reason people go.
Pharmaceuticals are cheaper, right?
By 60 to 80%, depending on which it is.
Wow. And the same could be said probably for the dental care.
Oh, man. You're talking to a guy who's missing a couple of teeth right now because he's having work done in Nogales that will wind up being roughly, instead of about an $18,000 or $20,000 job, this is pretty extensive, it will end up being about a $5,000 or $6,000 job. So, yes, it's still savings of somewhere in the 60 to 80% area, depending on who you go to.
So we're talking about your mouth. You're facing a lot of work.
If you are not noticing a Rosenblum lisp today, that is why. Yes, this is deferred maintenance, Bill.
All right. We'll take a break right here. Keith, don't go away. Buckmaster, okay. Back with you in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Helping you make better money decisions is what The Ramsey Show is all about. Today at 1 p.m. on 1030 The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Boy, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico makes a delightful weekend getaway or a midweek getaway or really any time getaway. Just 3-hour drive east of Tucson. It will be pretty darn nice when you get there. Actually, along the way will look pretty good too with all the rain that we've been having. They've had a ton of rain over in Silver City, and actually their temperatures are very close to about what we're having because of all the rain that we've been having here. So you can expect temperatures in the 80s, pretty much like Tucson right now. Anyway, check out Southwest New Mexico. That's the website, spelled out, .org for information about things to do, and there's all sorts of activities, lots of outdoor activities, and great places to stay as well. Let's go back to our conversation, our border report with longtime border observer, reporter, one-time congressional aide to Congressman Colby, Keith Rosenblum. And I saw Keith that your old boss had a op-ed in the Star. Did you see that?
I did see it, and actually, I was texting with my old boss when I was reading the article, and told them great piece. But then I ran it by some friends, and we were going over whether it will make any difference or not. It was actually an attack on Mark Fincham and a call for people to respect the system, and saying that you need a Secretary of State who believes in the system, not a denier. And I happen to hold those views as well, but yeah. I don't know whether Jim has whether that article in particular, had I been consulted, which I'm not, obviously, I am past that. I'm post-consulting. Mm-hmm. But I would have done something to reach out to people who were in that middle ground, who thought, you know, there might have been something irregular or fraudulent. I don't believe there was, but I believe that if you're going to persuade people, you need to doff your hat to them and say, hey, you know, this is, in case you did believe this or that. So that's what I would have done in a previous life. So it was lacking in persuasion, I guess, from that standpoint, but still, I was glad to see it.
All right. Keith, want to ask you, going back to the Mexican president, and he really departs with the United States when it comes to supporting Ukraine. Why is he on board with Russia? He calls the U.S. support for Ukraine in the war with Russia a crass error.
You know, I didn't realize that. You just taught Keith Rosenblum something that he wasn't aware of. What he has been saying is that the war is a breakdown of diplomacy. Mm. And I did not realize that he had called it a crass error. You sent me back to the drawing board to learn something that was not, that had not been his position at the onset. So unless something happened, if what you just said is accurate,
it is.
Then I need to go back and take a look, because President
of the AP.
I need to see that, because it's not in keeping with what he's been saying, nor is it in keeping with the official line from SRE, from the Secretaría de Relaciones Exteriores. That's their foreign, the chancellor, the foreign ministry. And actually, I'm going to be tomorrow at an event in Nogales, Mexico, with a bunch of diplomats, Mexican diplomats. And so I'm going to ask them while I'm there. And if I haven't, I haven't forgotten the topic 29 days from now, we can revisit it. I'll find out. It just isn't keeping with the stance that he's taken. I had seen him as being neutral or even leaning toward Ukraine. And so thanks for pointing that out to me.
This was the sources in Associated Press article that came out after their meeting. So this would have been an AP article from last Wednesday after their meeting at the White House on Tuesday. And the reason, apparently, that he is criticizing the U.S. is for moving swiftly to provide military funding Ukraine rather than financially aiding Central America.
Oh, that, okay. So then that now I understand, because he sees the desperate need for that kind of support for his agenda. He's one of these people. He's emerged as what he perceives himself as having emerged as a leader of Latin America, of
yes.
Central and South America, too. And so what he has to do is he has to posture, and that is López Obrador posturing at his best. So, yeah, he would say that you really need to be channeling some resources. What he was saying is, give me a fraction of the money that you're spending on missiles, and let's keep people from coming through Mexico. And by the way, Mexico soon will also have its own undocumented problem. It doesn't yet, but it will. Fortunately, it has a birth rate that's falling off as well. So Mexico needs the labor right now. But the Mexican wage scale, the Mexican living conditions are pretty good compared to Honduras or Guatemala and El Salvador. So I understand. Actually, I agree with him. I mean, I actually agree that it sure be nice to give them something to kind of stave off the how Mexico is going to become a crossroads for more people. Number one, its own destination. Number two, crossroads for people coming into the U.S.
Also in my stack of stuff for you, when we have an incident where we have 53 migrants who died a horrible death last month in the trailer in the San Antonio area, how is that reported by the Mexican media?
It's covered in vivid detail, like the same as we get, although we have so many news outlets and we have so much coverage. You and I have to choose literally from, are we going to read Border Dental Monthly? We have so much periodicals and websites to choose from. The Mexicans cover it exquisitely, and they did a great job. And they went back in the case where they were Mexicans, they went back to the hometown of several of the people from Mexico. It wasn't only Central Americans. And by the way, I've been waiting. It hasn't come out yet, but I keep waiting for the piece that's definitive that says how that truck got through the customs checkpoint. Because it's like we have it two back, and down by Sierra Vista and Huachuca as well. There are Border Patrol checkpoints there. And so what they didn't do so that trailer could slip through is fascinating to me and wouldn't surprise me. And again, I'm not a conspiratorialist, but there are people who are on the take. And how did a trailer get through without having been scanned? I understand you can't go through every truck, but I understand when you have 53 humans in a vehicle. I mean, I watched online about a couple months ago, I watched the PCSO helicopter chase of a guy over by like Drexel and 12th, right? Mm-hmm. And from 3,000 feet, they're taking exquisite pictures of this guy, and they can see the heat from his body as they're chasing him through these yards. Really, tell me that that sophisticated scanning infrastructure that they have at the Border Patrol checkpoints
but that could not have detected 53, you know, hearts beating or body warmth. I don't know.
Very good
point. Anyway, the answer to your question is it's covered in exquisite detail. And the curious question is how to get through.
Yeah, very good stuff. We covered a lot of ground today. Thank you very much, Keith.
My pleasure, Bill.
All right, that'll do it for the Buckmaster Show on our Monday edition as we launch into the month of August already, right? All right. On behalf of John, engineering and producing the show, Bill Buckmaster saying, hope it's a great afternoon for you.